What would you do if you knew the world was ending tomorrow? Would you quit your job and have a great big party? Would you try to save the world? Be like, no, 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 it can't end. I will stop it from ending. Would you pray and fast? Someone this morning at the early service said they would gather their family around them. The story goes that when Martin Luther was asked this question, he simply responded, plant a tree. Of course, there's no evidence he actually ever said that, but it's a nice idea, don't you think? That even when facing the end, you are building for the future that is in God's hands. There are countless times in history when people have read the signs of the times and determined this must be it. Here we are. In fact, from the very first century after Jesus died and rose again, people have been convinced that this is it, that this must be the end. There is a novel that I read not too long ago called Cloud Cuckoo Land by Anthony Dewar. And in it, it follows multiple characters in different time periods, but there are two characters who are followed who are on either side of the fall of Constantinople. Their names are Anna and Omer. Anna is inside with the nuns, though a girl herself. And Omer is on the outside caring for an animal that is in the long procession that is taking battering rams to attack the city. And the nuns with whom Anna lives inside the city are absolutely convinced, understandably, that this is the end, the fall of Christendom, the end of the world. And they pray for the worst. They prepare for what must be coming. Many do so by praying and then ending their lives to choose their own ending rather than face what is to come. When Hurricane Katrina pummeled New Orleans in 2005, I don't know if you know this, but there were many Christians who pointed to that and said, that means it's the end. God is judging New Orleans. People were still stranded on rooftops, taking desperate measures to find food and clean water and being villainized. There's no shortage today of people pronouncing that this must be the end. All the signs are there. Don't you see them? Those who see the makings of World War III, those who see the waning influence of Christianity, those who see climate change spelling the end of humanity itself, those who see political division as an epidemic that is destroying our society. And they might all be right. So what do we do about it? Jesus, I'll admit, in the reading that Michael very kindly read for us today, it does not paint a pretty picture, does it? This is not some great motivational speech by Jesus. But Jesus speaks of arrests and persecution and corrupt rulers, betrayal by family and friends, and, to top it off, death. But what does Jesus say to do? What are we to do about it? What guidance does he give? What 10-step program does he offer in order to help us get out of the mess that we are surely in? Mostly he doesn't, in fact, say what to do. He just says how horrible it will be and to be on our guard for those who come and claim to know some secret knowledge. The only direction he gives for what we do, however, is this. Make up your minds not to prepare your defense in advance, for I will give you words and a wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to withstand. So just don't do anything? Is that what Jesus is saying? That rather than try to prepare for it, we should just be ready when the time comes because God will give us the words. That's not a plan. How can this be with the world collapsing around us? Don't we need a plan to get out of it? To plan our way out of completely avoidable starvation? Plan our way towards a world at peace? Plan our way out of the ever-increasing divide between rich and poor? Well, I for one love a good plan. A good plan that has SMART goals. You all know SMART goals, right? They are specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, time-bound. We should make good plans, shouldn't we? We should strategize and collaborate. That is all a part of loving our neighbor. But when it comes to the end, to the end that is promised when Christ comes again, well, there are those, as Jesus warns, who come along and predict the end of the world. And you know what their plan usually involves? It involves discarding the world that we're in now, giving up on it, and focusing entirely on what is to come. And on the other end of the spectrum, we have folks who fall into the trap of trying to fix it all. If only they were smart enough and could work hard enough, then everything would be okay. Which I'll admit can be exhilarating at times when you make progress, but can also be painfully exhausting. Plans are great if they're about how we go about living in this world that God has created, how we best follow the command to love our neighbor. But the end, that's simply not up to us. The best we can do about the end is to live as well as we can here in peace, and love, and yes, endurance. So what would you do if you knew the world was ending tomorrow? Plant a tree, sure. Sort clothes that sometimes pile up in donations to Loaves and Fishes. Deliver Thanksgiving baskets to hungry neighbors. It's not ending hunger in the world, but it's alleviating hunger for some. Organize Christmas presents for families whose kids are not naughty just because their families are poor. Welcome neighbors to the God is Love Church at the Christmas Bazaar. It's not saving the world, but it's living. It's living in this world that God has gifted us. Teach children, organize service projects, advocate for more just policies, and sure, make plans. Make all the plans you want for the sake of systemic change, but do not fall into the trap of either throwing up your hands and giving up when you realize you can't actually do it all, or bearing the weight of the world on your shoulders. You cannot save the world. We are the body of Christ. Thanks be to God, but you are not Jesus. In our prayer of the day, it's easy to skip over the prayer of the day and not notice it because we just say it. It's part of worship. But these are beautiful words. It says in the prayer of the day, embrace us with your mercy, that with you as our ruler and guide, we may live through what is temporary without losing what is eternal. We pray, in fact, every week, we pray, thy kingdom come. And we don't pray that because we can make God's kingdom come. We pray knowing that God's kingdom comes without our asking. But we pray that God's kingdom might come to us and that God might use us to reveal a new heaven and a new earth. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.